This is Radioactive with Nick Burns.
Thank you for joining us on Radioactive. And today on the show, you know, we seem to be living in an age of extra divisiveness, animosity, intolerance. One part of this, rigid gender roles, just seems to be not necessarily the societal norm anymore. Upcoming, of course, November is Transgender Education and Awareness Month. We'll tell you more about what's going on right here in Salt Lake City along the Wasatch Front about that. But today on Radioactive, we're going to leave the haters behind. There are ways to build bridges. There's ways to bring people together. And there are ways that are working throughout the country and around the world. So today on Radioactive, it's gender revolution, a gender revolution of tolerance. But first, Rachel Edwards and Sue Edwards, they join us to talk about transgender issues, to talk about relationships, about the self with others and with the world. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having us.
And you're on the planning committee for what's going on at the Pride Center, right?
Yes. Well, it's not actually at the Pride Center. They're just presenting it. It's at the Roland Hall School up... What is that?
Near 9th and 9th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we'll give everybody all the details on that, because since you're right in the middle of it. And Sue Edwards, thank you. Hi.
Thank you for having us.
You have a great voice on the radio. You should have your own show, like, at midnight.
Okay, I'm ready to start. Anytime.
Love the sound of your voice. So thank you for joining us. Also with us, Communications Director of the Utah Pride Center, Ben Lux Morgan. Ben, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll get all the details about what y'all got going on. But first, Rachel Edwards, tell me a little bit about yourself and what brings you to this transgender world.
Well, I was depressed most of my life and didn't know what my problem was. I just didn't really enjoy my life. Just wished I'd never existed for years and years. And, a few years ago, I started discovering, well, that I am actually transgender, and that I feel like I've just always been a woman, but I was, I guess, trapped in a man's body and tried to be that, but, you know, try and fill that role, but it just didn't work.
It sounds like it took a huge toll on your life.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to be something you weren't.
Yes, I just never felt comfortable with myself. I would have never done this public thing back then. Well, I just like to be a wallflower, not...
Well, radio's pretty safe, right? So thank you for jumping into this. So, Sue Edwards, you two have been together 17 years, right?
That's right.
So this can't have been easy on you.
It was a wild ride, a real eye-opener. But I must say that when Rachel transitioned, she really blossomed, and a lot of that depression went away, a lot of her personality traits. I used to describe us as Pooh and Eeyore. Rachel being Eeyore, you know, well, thanks for noticing me. And now suddenly she's just out and happy. And she, like, being on the radio 2 years ago would have been hiding under a rock in terror. She would never have done something like this. But now she's just out and happy and excited. And
you sound extremely supportive.
Well, you know, how could you not be? When she was Scott, she was a wonderful person, and that hasn't changed at all. So it did take a lot of getting used to, I won't lie. a lot of ups and downs, and we're still kind of going through it. But, you know, what's not to love?
So, Rachel, you mean depression gone away, you're more comfortable who you are. Do you think you're still the same person?
Well, I was saying that a while ago. I thought, well, I'm just the same person. It's just dressed differently. But since then, I've been thinking about it, and I'm not the same person. I love who I am now, and I love everybody around me. This is going to sound crazy. The skies seem bluer. Oh. Colors are more vivid, and just, I had no idea it was even possible to be this happy.
And Sue's been along for what she calls this incredible wild ride.
Oh, it's been
do you have other family members who've been along for this ride?
Either? Oh, yeah. I'm out to pretty much the whole family at this point.
And how's that working out?
It has, well, you know, it came as a surprise to everybody, for sure. But it's been, most of the people have been okay with it. I think I get a little weird vibe here and there with the family, but I was totally scared to come out to my dad because, you know, that generation just, this is, was not a thing.
Well, I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, you're saying you're the same person, but people aren't going to look at you the same. Your family's not going to look at you the same, but it's still you. I mean, inside,
yeah,
it
is.
How
well,
interesting.
I kind of think that I kept the best parts, I hope.
Oh.
But now I'm happy and I can't believe the reception I get in places now. It's like everybody, like in Costco or other stores,
yeah.
I walk in and they all yell, "Hi, Rachel, how are you doing?"
Aww.
And everybody talks to me, and it's just been amazing. I had no idea it would be like that. I was terrified coming out
uh-huh.
in the beginning. Okay. I went to like Whole Foods 3 times and then turned around and came home when I was first presenting
oh, wow.
as a woman.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I was just terrified to go in there. And then I just decided I'm proud of who I am. And I just march right in the front door now.
What a big step.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
It was scary.
Well, no, I'm for sure. So, I mean, it's scary for people who aren't going through transitions, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
scary just to be a human being. Ben Lux Morgan, I want to bring you in here.
Sure.
Again, you're at the Pride Center. You've got this Transgender Education and Awareness Month going on.
Mm-hmm.
But transgender is something familiar to you as well.
Yes, I'm a trans man as well, so that's a personal issue for me.
And does Rachel's story resonate with you to some degree in terms of transition and coming out and finding a truer self?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a very common thing you hear. And for me, it's been just this much more casual comfort with myself and with feeling like I am who I'm supposed to be.
I think that's hard for sort of people outside the community to understand.
I do. You know, I think there's this common sort of, well, I could never be the other gender, and I think that it's sort of like, well, exactly, you know, you're the issue is that it's not that if I was a cis person I'd be becoming a cis man, it's that
let me break and explain
sorry,
that
yeah.
cis man
cis is a cis is the concept that you are the gender that you're assigned at birth. So
okay.
If you're born and the doctor says you're a man and you live your whole life feeling comfortable as a man, then you're a cis man. If you're born and the doctor says you're a man and you feel deeply uncomfortable in your body, then you're a trans woman. If you are uncomfortable
no,
in your body.
No, just to be clear, Rachel.
Reason.
Yeah, didn't I read that it was like a Latin, cis was a Latin prefix that means the same or something.
Okay,
so
yeah.
it means your identity and your
gender identity and your genitalia match. So
yes, exactly.
By
that's it.
Standards.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, it seems so difficult because to me, and maybe I'm just weird myself, but to me, it's all a continuum. It's not like A or
right.
B or
oh,
X
yeah.
or Y.
Right.
People
exactly.
are fluid all over the place.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take the example of a tomboy girl is not a trans individual necessarily, but they're fluid in their gender in terms of what would be the standard approach. So it there is often this sort of, well, gender is fluid no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yet people seem to, so many people seem to resist that, and it leads to so much hate and intolerance,
mm-hmm.
it seems
yeah.
like. So I have to ask, Ben and Rachel, you are, I mean, I'm seeing you here, and I know our radio audience can't really see you, but there's a generational difference here.
Yeah.
If it's okay to say, I mean, Rachel, you're a lot older than Ben. Tell me about that, about what it's like being older and younger. It seems to me, you know, Rachel, you were saying, you know, sort of coming out to your father. You've been with Sue for a decade, 16, 17 years. That must be very different than, you know, Ben, you're much younger,
mm-hmm.
sort of doing this sooner, quicker, faster, seems like. I don't know how you can compare to one another, but there's got to be differences.
Well, yeah, I didn't have any idea until a few years ago that that was my thing. And
okay. It,
and yeah, being a little older, it's kind of weird.
Well, so, just, no, like you said, you were living as a very unhappy man for a long time.
Well, yeah, I have grandchildren, or children, and stepchildren, and grandchildren, and that was fairly strange for them, I'm sure, or well, it was.
Yeah, but less strange than a generation ago. But Ben, being much younger, you came to this sooner, or is it just easier, you think, these days with younger folks?
I mean, I do think it's easier. I was well aware of sort of trans identity before I sort of came out to myself and came out to my family and friends. And I think having that sort of knowledge made things much easier in my life. And I don't have kids to come out to. I have a wife and parents, but right. I mean, that sort of, there's just a different set of people you have to come out to. And of course, then there's that there are a lot of young kids who now are transitioning. And I think that's that in some ways, that experience is very, very, very different than the experience of adults who transition.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of... Go ahead, Rachel.
Well, I was just going to say in the knowing more about it, because 4 years ago, I didn't even have a clue what transgender was or any of this. I got these books and started reading them, and I was like blown away by all the different terms, transvestite and transgender and just all of that stuff. I was like, wow, I had no idea all of this stuff even existed.
I mean, that must be like you landed on a new planet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Sue, for you too, to some degree. Oh, you're shaking your head, yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. I mean, because you think about pop culture, I mean, I'm of a generation to remember Christine Jorgensen, right? The famous GI from World War II who went to Denmark. And I mean, we've gone from that, which was like a tabloid supermarket story, to what, Caitlyn Jenner being on the cover of Vanity Fair. I mean, there's a huge societal shift here, and you are both right in the middle of it.
Yeah. The Caitlyn Jenner thing was just perfect timing for me, because it was just the same time I was coming out. So it was just perfect for me.
I mean, it seems like, at least for people my age, this kind of thing was far more dangerous. I mean, physically dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Kink's song notwithstanding, that's kind of funny.
I mean, it should be pointed out, it is still for a lot of people.
It is.
There are incredibly high rates, both of violence against trans women, particularly trans women of color. There have been, I believe it's at 21 trans women of color killed at this point this year in the United States. And for suicide as well, and for violence against ourselves, the rates are at about 41% of our community, of the trans community, attempt suicide.
Yeah, there was just one here recently, but I don't know how much of that came out, because the Deseret News, what's the...
The Trib?
The Trib reported it and said they couldn't, because it wasn't legal gender, they had to...
Right.
Do it as a man.
Okay.
Report it as a man, but
they've rescinded that. But they initially reported
it
that way.
Interesting.
So there was a woman. Her name is Ashley Hallstrom, I believe.
I think that's it.
She was in somewhere in northern Utah. She killed herself. She committed suicide. She walked out
in front of a truck.
In front of a truck, right?
And she left a note saying,
on Facebook,
essentially, let my suicide be a call and a piece of information about what trans identity is. And it's received, I mean, national, international attention. It's been a pretty big story at this point.
Do you know how old she was?
She's 26.
So I was hoping you would say younger people are more comfortable and suffer fewer problems, but 26 ain't very old.
No.
No.
So both of you have really supportive family structures, it seems like, and some people don't, and I'm thinking they're therein lies a lot of risk.
That's a huge element for why the rates of suicide and not even just suicide, the rates of harm, the rates of
abuse, drug abuse, alcohol,
absolutely,
everything,
are extremely high within the transgender community. And there's no question that it has a lot to do with how does their family respond, especially, for trans youth. How their parents respond is so crucial for what their future actions are.
I think one of the murders I heard was her father actually killed her because she was transgender or something along those lines.
I mean, we could devote a whole show to what's going on there with the hate and the intolerance and the lack of understanding. But Sue Edwards, bring you back in here. I mean, you're right in the middle of this. So for your situation, there has to be stages of grief, or
you definitely go through a very distinct period of mourning, because the man I married is gone, and as much as I love Rachel and support her, I don't have my husband anymore, in a lot of really crucial ways, and so it's been like that's part of the roller coaster ride, and I did go through a very, very deep depression for several months. And I've come out of it now, but it was extremely difficult.
Do you have to say goodbye to your old self then too, Rachel and Ben?
In ways, especially, in relationships, I felt really bad about, becoming myself, but making everybody else uncomfortable or mourning.
It's a challenging juxtaposition because on the one half, you're celebrating this birth of this beautiful person. But on the other hand, you definitely have lost the person that you knew and loved. The metaphor I've used in my mind is the caterpillar to the butterfly. The caterpillar, the cunning little caterpillar has gone and is replaced by this beautiful butterfly. But, sometimes you like that cunning little caterpillar.
Well, for whatever reason, that's what you were used to.
Right.
Right? Even if it was Eeyore.
Right.
Yeah, for 17 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
I heard somebody say once, if you transition, you mourn no matter what happens, because you mourn for who you were. And if you don't transition, you mourn for who you could have been. And either way, there is a something of a sense of loss. I don't think that's universal. I think there are very many, many, many people who would deeply disagree with that statement. But I do think there are, when you find yourself telling a story pre-transition and you have this moment where somebody said your name in the course of the story, how do you manage that moment of saying, like, so if I'm telling a story and I say, oh, and then so-and-so said Sarah, if people only know me as Ben, it becomes an awkward moment. But I wasn't Ben in the story, right? That wouldn't have been accurate. So I do think there are some unexpected things you have to navigate, both in these big picture things and just in how do you tell a story about yourself?
Good point. I mean, what about the more concrete day-to-day life? I mean, what about when you go to vote yesterday or last week or tomorrow
or
want a driver's license?
I voted yesterday under the name of Sarah because my name is not legally Ben. I have not legally changed my gender yet. It's a long process to do that. It's a kind of expensive process. There are day-to-day things about what you have to do with that, too.
And yet you all doing this are, in my mind, I mean, you are pioneers. I mean, Christine Jorgensen's been around for decades now and whatnot. But really, for this kind of societal acceptance that we're seeing now, it's like you people are leading the wagon trains to this new land, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've never quite understood why people are so hung up if somebody's a man or a woman. I know when you walk down the street and you look at somebody, you tend to notice man, woman, black, white, Chinese, whatever. But I just myself never really figured out what the big deal was. But yet it is a big deal.
Yeah. I think where the pioneering is still happening is really in terms of how does this play out in the day-to-day? So, for example, the Union for Reform Judaism is having their major biennial right now in Orlando, Florida. And they're about to release process for how their congregations should interact with trans individuals. And that's everything from having gender-neutral bathrooms, using gender-neutral language, asking people what their preferred pronouns are, in their camp system, trying to figure out how to have gender-neutral cabins and things like that. And they're about to release this.
Wow.
And it's going, I mean, they're kind of the first major religion to release something this comprehensive.
That's huge.
But it is this question of saying, okay, what does the day-to-day mean? How do you deal with these things? How do not only as individuals do you deal with this, but how does society as a whole? And that's sort of really where things are right
and
now.
And what I mean is you have to have a lot of chutzpah to be doing
that. Yeah. Absolutely.
So only a couple minutes left. The 7th Annual Gender Conference, Gender Revolution, Familiar Faces, Rather Diverse Stories. This is all day, the 14th, at Roland Hall School, which is 843 Lincoln Street. What can people expect? I know it's cheap to attend. And Rachel, I know you're on the planning committee here. It's $25 pre-registration. You get breakfast, you get food. What should people look forward to for that?
Well, we have a keynote speaker. We have several different tracks.
Okay.
I think there are 27 or 30 different workshops.
Wow.
They cover art, general education stuff. Like we usually have a Trans 101 class that's, you know, the basics for people that don't know. There's a health track that covers, all of things related to your health.
Uh-huh.
and stuff. Relationships and, sexual identities, legal, law, policy and organizing, another track for intersecting identities and the culture.
So you've got, there's a lot going on here all day.
Oh, yeah. I think 27 or 30 different tracks.
And Ben, where should people find out about this? How do people get involved?
So there's a couple different places people can find out about this. Website is genderrevolutionutah.org.
Okay.
All one word. And they can also find out about it on the UtahPrideCenter.org website. There's information there as well as on Facebook on our pages.
No reason to stay uninformed. Right. Go check this out.
The keynotes are also Aiden and Jenny Lee Dowling. Aiden was one of the runners up this year for a men's health cover. He had incredible public support around it. It was fascinating to see the response. So he and his wife are presenting as the keynotes together.
Great. Going to have to leave it there. So, Ben, thank you very much.
No problem.
Rachel, thank you.
Thank you.
Sue, thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. So, again, check it all out, genderrevolutionutah.org. This is all coming up Saturday the 14th at Roland Hall School, all day 8:30 to 6:30. Again, $25 pre-registration. That gets you food, $35 at the door. It's inclusive to all, and scholarships and such and reduced fares are available. So check that all out. We're going to take a quick break on Radioactive. This is, of course, your community connection, 90.9. FM KRCL. When I come back, we talk queer theory with 2015 Equality Utah Ally of the Year, Dr. Catherine Bond Stockton. Don't touch that dial. Keep it tuned.